I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Skybox Security. I'm joined on a call now with Peter Margaris, VP for Product Marketing at Skybox. He's based all the way over in California, in San Jose, I believe, Peter. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks for joining us. I'm also joined by Simon Santana, who is the Business Development Director for Skybox Security for South Africa. Simon, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Duncan.
Peter, let me start with you. Tell me a bit about Skybox Security and what it does. I see it was founded back in 2002, but it's been through a number of funding rounds in recent years.
Yeah, Skybox is primarily a cybersecurity management company. We provide a software platform that enables customer to really leverage a powerful platform for data and analytics purposes to help drive their policy and posture, security policy and posture management capabilities, as well as to assess their vulnerabilities and risk. And then really look at the data and analytics engine that we have and the modeling that we do with the data that we ingest into the platform really helps us give customers better and more actionable data so that they can tighten and optimize their security posture overall and minimize all their vulnerabilities and risks. Those are really the key capabilities that we drive. And a lot of it is powered by the data we ingest and the modeling that we do.
So actually helping companies, telling companies where they've got security risks, security issues that perhaps they wouldn't have known about otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, optimizing your security posture and looking at many companies that we serve have, you know, multinational footprints, you know, several different security capabilities in place, many, many firewalls. So part of it is also normalizing your security posture, optimizing your security rule sets, being able to clean up your security rule sets so that your firewalls at the basic level are optimized and operating in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And then as changes occur over time, which is constant in the world of security, as you know, it's important to be able to model and to be able to assess what's happening, looking at what your current landscape looks like, what type of security threats may pose a risk to the exposure that you may have across your organization, so that you have the right data sets to be able to then make the right decisions and the right types of adjustments to your security posture over time. So it's really about helping you minimize that attack surface that's constantly evolving over time.
And to what extent can you automate those processes?
To a large extent, there's a lot of built-in capabilities, out-of-the-box capabilities that help with customers automate many of the workflows, if you will. So, for example, if you look at policy cleanup, policy and rule recertification processes, many of those types of processes traditionally have required a lot of manual spreadsheets and a lot of things that relied on humans looking at data. And there's a lot of out-of-the-box capabilities we have in the platform that automate those workflows and make sure that you understand from an audit perspective, you know, what rules have been imposed, what have been changed by who, when, and automate the timeframes in which you want to, you know, revisit rule recertification processes. So there's a lot of those types of things that are automated and built into the platform. And even, you know, the change management processes as well have been automated to a large extent to minimize the requirement to have a lot of the workflows be required for manual intervention, if you will. Mm.
Simon, let me bring you in here. Tell me a bit about Skybox Security in South Africa. How long has the company been operating here, and which industry verticals are you particularly focused on?
Skybox has had a presence in South Africa since 2013. We predominantly play in any complex vertical or complex client network vertical. So typically the telcos, mm-hmm. and the financial services that are always, you know, even from a global perspective, very good customers of ours, due to the nature of their complexities. And also, you know, talking about automating and optimizing some of these routine tasks. I think in our world, we are particularly vulnerable to having a skills shortage and, you know, having a platform that can really optimize what security teams do, can focus them on their day jobs and help them do what they need to do more efficiently.
Great. Well, we're all talking to each other from our respective homes at the moment, which I don't think we would have been doing at the beginning of this year, or even as recently as possibly early March. And the subject on everyone's lips is still COVID-19, work from home, or I think they call them shelter in place measures in California. Is that right, Pilar?
That's correct.
This must have presented an enormous challenge for companies, and especially for their IT departments, and even more so for those working in information security. Peter, maybe take us through some of the conversations that you've been having with chief information security officers over the last few months. What have those conversations been about?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, when you look, you know, take a step back and look at what's happened. In March, when companies really started the process of moving, you know, to a work from home situation, over 80% of companies went to an entirely work from home, you know, situation there. So it was a rapid change, rapid movement that they had to make. So what that really did is it forced a large number of, you know, shifting in terms of rule and access policy changes that had to be made. Certainly a lot of security risks opened up. You know, one of the things that you always have to be cognizant of at any organization is when there's rapid change, there's more risk. You know, you have more risk of opening up, you know, access policy violations, rule sets may not be optimized. The more changes you make, you're more likely to step into misconfigurations that you know, due to the overload of change processes that are happening. And then, you know, not having the right rule check and recertification process in the first place exacerbates the problem. Mm-hmm. So that is really what a lot of companies fell into. And a lot of companies then were in scramble mode. But, you know, what we found in discussing with a lot of customers is that they weren't prepared for this type of a situation. And they're still in somewhat scramble mode, although mm-hmm. many companies have adjusted. And a lot of companies also now are communicating that they're going to have some level of work from home that's going to continue on. So most companies now are past the initial shock, if you will. And now the mindset is more, okay, the initial shock is over. We've adjusted as best we can. Now what's going to be the path forward? And there's a lot of thought being put into re-engineering processes and, you know, what do we need to do to make sure that we have the right technologies, tools, and processes in place to continue carrying this forward, because now this type of a situation is only going to accelerate over time.
Do you think that a lot of companies have kind of put interim measures in place, kind of sellotaped bits and pieces of security in place to help them adjust in the interim, while they were forced in a very sort of very short order to deal with these work from home measures, and that they now need to start to consider putting in much more robust solutions, security solutions, to protect them?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's an excellent point. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I mentioned about, you know, processes and recertification and, you know, validation of changes, for example, when you look at a situation where rapid amount of changes are being made, are those changes being validated, or are companies and organizations simply making the changes and continuing and moving on? Mm. And that's more likely what is happening. So now what many customers are looking at is taking a little bit of a step back, trying to understand, how can I get a better handle on process change and rule changes before we push them out, before we actually you know, find ourselves in a potential situation. So being able to validate changes is important. Being able to harden that change management process is important. Being able to also do so across hybrid networks in a consistent manner, which is another variable. If you think about what's happened now is companies have had to now look at new technologies and new capabilities that they may not have had before. They may have had to now look at cloud native capabilities and trying to serve those remote work from home situations with new cloud native capabilities that they weren't using before. So now, how can I make sure I'm adopting those technologies in a consistent way, that my policies are consistent from, you know, where I was before to now having, you know, a new variable in place? So that's important as well.
Have you seen an increase in cyber attacks since the work from home measures started to be implemented? Because I imagine that a lot of employees are now using, and we know that bring your own device, BYOD, has been a thing for many years, but a lot of employees, I'm sure, were using devices that weren't connected previously to the corporate network. Many of these devices, I'm sure, were also unpatched. Has this resulted in increased data loss, increased cyber attack?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in fact, it depends on what report you read, but you know, one recent report I read showed that there was a 600% increase in cyber attacks since March, since this has occurred. So there's definitely been, you know, an increase. I think also threat actors have been obviously trying to take advantage of the opportunity that they see at hand to look at new ways to attack organizations, especially considering many, you know, people who are working from home may not have, the same security policies in place that they've had, you know, back in the office. So we've seen a surge in some of these attacks and a lot more vulnerabilities as well. I mean, if you think about also, to your point, I may be connecting with personal devices. I may have other devices that, you know, that are in my home that may give an opportunity for a hacker to be able to get access to my, you know, work machine, if you will.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of vectors now that have opened up that weren't present before that now, you know, companies need to be cognizant of.
Yeah. And I imagine a VPN is just one element of a solution. It's, I think a lot of companies put a VPN in and think, well, there we go, we're secure, but it's not that simple, is it?
It is not. And in fact, a lot of companies are looking to move away from VPNs. There's just in general, before this happened, companies were looking to move away from VPNs because they're not optimal in terms of a solution. You've got to rely on VPN concentrators, which aren't ideal as well in terms of overall providing a secure framework. So there's some challenges there. And now organizations that may have gone that route, that may have accelerated the deployment of VPNs, are going to ultimately, you know, be faced with trying to find more optimum solutions in the longer run, which probably move them back into, you know, some cloud native options that are out there. And it's unavoidable in terms of that that need to take a holistic look at securing these different environments, and also the tool sets you need to manage it and the ability to manage it consistently across these new environments. Mm-hmm. And vulnerability management and risk management is a big part of it as well. Having a really good idea of what's out there and how things are configured, how things interact with each other, how things are connected. And there isn't enough analysis that's normally done in that way to help customers really continuously evaluate their attack surface and continuously evaluate the risk that they may be walking into.
Or even just have the visibility that they require across all of those elements on a continuously changing basis. And I think we find that there isn't one data set that in large organizations is consistent across, you know, the various elements of security. And, you know, Skybox, the platform itself is actually built around giving you that complete visibility of the network. And that's really powerful to then be able to make decisions based on knowing what to secure and where the threat is coming from.
Simon, I wanted to ask you whether there are particular industries here in South Africa that have adapted quicker to the work from home measures than others. And if they are, what's been the secret of their success?
I think, you know, the way that we have seen this accelerated transition, I think in the South African context, we always make a plan, right? And I think our security teams have become really adept at making things happen really quickly with very limited resources. And, you know, across industries, we've seen that all our customers have managed to accelerate that. And I think retrospectively going back and ensuring that they tighten up the security controls and batten down the hatches more, because it was more around making sure that they have the connectivity available, making sure that operations can still be fluid and support customer initiatives and in certain industries just actually keep the lights on. And right now it's right going back and ensuring that what they've put in place can be continuously modeled and continuously monitored and controlled, and have that assurance that the board would be asking them and to say, well, we've opened up all these connections. How do we know that the neighbor isn't, you know, creating an attack vector and opening up some kind of form of exposure to our crown jewels or our data or whatever that may be that they're protecting? I mean, and our industries are far and wide. We really don't fit one particular niche. Our message is all around solving important problems and complex networks. So that could be manufacturing, it could be in the mining sectors. We've got clients, you know, as I said, banking and telcos are always at the forefront because they're always most likely to be attacked because of the financial gain.
To just take me through how your software is deployed within organizations. Where does it get installed? What does it do on the network? Maybe give us a bit of insight there, Peter.
Sure. Our software can be deployed a couple of different ways. You either can deploy it on premise and with an appliance where you would deploy the software, or you can also deploy in a cloud environment, an AWS, and operate it as a virtual software deployment, as you can with other types of similar types of solutions. So either way, you can you have some deployment flexibility there in terms of how you want to manage the software and how you want to deploy the software. So it's a matter of building the integrations that you have into your different environments, and then pulling in the data sets from the different environments that you're working with, and then the tools that we have within the platform give you the ability to do the security policy and posture management, the different capabilities that we offer there, as well as the vulnerability and risk management.
It's been said that COVID-19 has done more than anything else previously before it to accelerate digital transformation initiatives, CEOs are suddenly, perhaps in the past, CIOs were pushing digital transformation on their CEOs and weren't getting an ear, and now CEOs are telling their CIOs to get on with the job. Is this a good thing? I mean, is there a risk that companies are going to start approaching digital transformation with too aggressive a stance, that they will suddenly try to rush these projects? And what might that mean from a security perspective?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. My personal feeling is the current situation really has accelerated the inevitable. I think most organizations have been embarking upon digital transformation initiatives for some time. And in fact, the data shows that 70% of companies prior to COVID were embarking upon some level of digital transformation initiatives. And in the long run, a lot of these initiatives are business, they're driven by business. There's current business drivers that are forcing these changes. I mean, it's a matter of driving more efficiencies in the business. It's a matter of becoming more nimble, leveraging capabilities that give you the ability to also have better processes in place across your organization, better customer care, better customer engagement capabilities. So there's a lot of benefits, but organizations have been moving somewhat, slowly in many ways, but this is now for sure forcing that transition. In the long run, I think it's going to be a good thing. In the short term and medium term, there's without question additional risk from a security perspective. Anytime there's rapid change, there's always opportunity for security hackers to find vulnerabilities that are going to pop up. And I do believe that's going to be the case. So having the right capabilities to manage the transition over time is going to be critical. Being able to leverage the right tool sets, looking at the data and modeling the data is important so that you can manage this transition as best as possible over time. And whether the transformation takes place over a year or 2 years, or whether a transformation may take place in a matter of months, that transformation still needs to be managed in the right way. And I think that's the key here that customers need to focus on.
Don't rush things is what you're saying.
Yeah. And or when, whatever you do, you have to make sure you have the right tool sets in place to get you where you need to go. And that's more important. And if you rush it without making any consideration of how you're making the transition, then that's where you're going to run into some challenges, especially from a security perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's maybe dig a little bit deeper into what Skybox Security, or where it fits into the market rather, and some of the solutions it offers. Peter, maybe take us through what the company offers in terms of data and analytics capabilities.
Yeah, certainly. So with regard to the Skybox platform, a lot of what we do starts with the data we collect. And, unlike many platforms out there that may rely on, specific data sets from a few different sources, we pull data in from multiple sources, and we also use multiple methods of data collection. So we pull data into the platform, for example, from asset repositories, IT, asset management capabilities. We pull data in from scanning devices that are out there that may be scanning for vulnerabilities. We pull in data from homegrown databases, configuration management databases. Also looking at both security and networking equipment. So looking at not just firewalls and firewall configurations that may be in place, but routers, switches, load balancers, other things that are in data centers that provide a path to assets and a path to applications, even layer two switches. So looking at a comprehensive set of data and EDR capabilities as well, endpoint detect and respond. We've recently done an integration with Microsoft with their Defender ATP EDR solution. Mm-hmm. So we're pulling in a comprehensive set of data for a number of different reasons that we able to then model. If you look at the security policy management, what that does really looking at this data, these data sets, gives us the ability to create a network model. And I want to make a distinction between modeling and simply having a path, or simply having a view, a network view or a network map. We create a model that gives us really a three-dimensional ability to do simulations and exposure analysis, if you will. those simulations give us the ability to proactively, when we make changes, model and simulate what does this look like, so that you can then determine before you deploy new rule changes, before you deploy new policy or posture changes, you can model things out and understand what does this look like, what types of what types of issues will these changes potentially have, what impacts. On the risk and vulnerability side, it gives us the ability to take a really good look at exposure and exposure analysis. And by being able to model both the network as well as the security posture that's in place, it gives us a very good depiction of where vulnerabilities lie, but also gives us an idea of how to address those vulnerabilities in the most efficient manner. Anytime you look at a vulnerability assessment, one of the challenges is the volume of vulnerabilities you may see. So with a particular scanning method, you might get millions of vulnerabilities that pop up that might be categorized in some way, shape, or form as severe or critical. And how do you manage that efficiently? How do you close those with the ability to model, with the ability to have asset characterization and prioritization capabilities built into that model? You can now distill down to a workable level of vulnerabilities based on risk. And then you can determine what your remediation options are. And those remediation options can be patching. It also can be upgrading components. It can be reconfiguring your network. It can be reconfiguring some of your security policies. So the decisions that you can make are driven by the modeling and the analytics that you're doing. And having a complete picture of what is out there is critical in order for you to then get the right outcomes and have the ability to drive the most efficient possible way to manage these security changes and also these vulnerabilities that may be coming up.
It sounds like hellishly complicated software, complex software. I imagine that the intention, though, is to decomplexify, if that's a word, a lot of these issues.
The only thing we don't do is make cappuccinos.
Before we wrap up, Simon, if a CIO is listening to this podcast and hasn't tried the software out, what should they do? Can they go onto the Skybox website, download some tools, and start playing around?
Absolutely, or even better yet, we have a team in country, a very skilled technical team that we can take clients through a demonstration and maybe just have a conversation. So they're welcome to contact me directly if you'd like my email address.
Sure.
It's simon.santana@skyboxsecurity.com, or they can find us via the Skybox website.
skyboxsecurity.com. Peter Margaris is VP of Product Marketing at Skybox Security, and Simon Santana is Business Development Director for Skybox in South Africa. Thank you both for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you very much.